Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and today we're joined by Sharla.
Hello.
How you doing?
Pete replacement again.
Pete replacement. Yes, we're in Kyoto this week, so it's been a little bit tricky, guys. First off, an apology. This is a few days late, this episode, and that is because I've been running a bar into the ground this week in the gritty, wonderful streets of Gion, Kyoto. Beautiful place, right?
Yeah, really nice. We're staying right in the center of Gion. I've never stayed there before. I've kind of wandered through it a couple times. But getting a hotel there is the way to go, really. It's so beautiful.
It is, yeah. And it's kind of the historic quarter of Kyoto. I mean, like, Kyoto is one big historic quarter, to be fair. But, like, Gion is the place, it's the nightlife district where you're most likely to spot geisha and Michael.
We saw a few, didn't we?
We did see a few, yeah. Although it's kind of few and far between. We noticed, I was walking down the street in Gion and looked up into a restaurant window on the second floor, and I saw four or five people clapping hands, having fun. And at the centre of the table was a Michael with a kind of stark, pale skin. Yeah, really kind of cool thing.
How can you tell the difference between a Michael and a geisha? I always forget the difference. Like, I know what the difference is, but visually?
Well, you can't really.
I know Maiko use their own hair, whereas geisha wear the wig, fancy wig.
And geisha are kind of adorned with more premium kimonos.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
But the bar's been pretty good. We've just wrapped it up, actually. And I was going to do a live stream at one point and stream it, but it was pretty hard running a bar, making a video and trying to think about doing a live stream at the same time. So unfortunately, while there's no live stream, I think the video is going to be pretty good, right?
Yeah, it should be fun. Was the experience fun? Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah. So the bar's really nice. It's on the second story of this wonderful restaurant. I don't know if it's a Michelin-star restaurant, but it's a very good restaurant serving kaiseki kind of Kyoto cuisine. Mm. And they lent us the second floor, which was sadly shut during COVID, and let us basically take it over for 4 days. And it was a really beautiful bar.
It
was really fancy. A wonderful architect made it. He let us come in and give it sort of an Abroad Japan vibe, which basically meant I got a sack and stuffed loads of stuff in it from the Abroad Japan studio, brought it down on the bullet train and just chucked it all over the bar, whether that's neon lights or the Maneki Neko lucky cat or photos of, you know, Too Much Volcano and Journey Across Japan. So, yeah, it was kind of nice. It was a contemporary Kyoto bar with a horrible Abroad Japan vibe going on.
I was surprised by how nicely it looked, actually. Mm. I didn't see it until the second day when I showed up and you had already decorated it. It looked really good. It really reminded me of your studio, but in a really fancy environment.
Well, I think in an ideal world, I like the idea of having people come to the Abroad Japan studio, but there's a lot of reasons why that can't happen at the moment. But, you know, maybe when we move to Tokyo, it could happen. Mm. But it was a test run for that. And I just want to do something a bit more fun. And I like the idea of meeting more viewers of Abroad in Japan. Like the last few months, of course, we've had the Halloween party in Tokyo. We had the event in London. Now we've had this in Kyoto. It's been really nice meeting everyone. And so the lucky listeners that actually turned up, I hope you had fun and didn't get salmonella food poisoning from Natsuki's dodgy snacks. And Natsuki also put on a good show, didn't he?
Yeah, he was really good. He showed up in a kimono.
He did, yeah.
I was really surprised. Apparently he went and rented a kimono just for the event. He looked great.
No expense spared by Natsuki. you. I wore a kimono as well on the second or
Where's
third night.
Kimono?
No kimono for you. Did you see my kimono? You did,
I did
see it.
Yeah.
So the day Charlotte arrived was the second or third night that we were running the bar, and the owner of the bar hooked us up with like the best kimono guy. I don't even know what the title
is. He must be the top kimono.
Yeah.
Dresser.
Kimono dresser. kimono expert man. I don't know. But he knows his kimonos. He does like the emperor's kimonos. And he got mine fitted. We went there and did it. And in a really nice house in East Kyoto.
Yeah.
And on the drive to the bar after the fitting, I was like, how much is this kimono? It's like $3,000-$4,000, right? And he was like, this kimono costs more than the very Aldi A6 we're driving in now.
It's and like 30 like, grand.
Yeah, it's like $30,000-$40,000. And I was like, what the actual fuck? And I was really like on edge the entire time that I was going to spill whiskey or sake down it. And I did warn him. I was like,
miraculously, you didn't ruin it.
I didn't ruin it. And I didn't spill anything down it. But he was like, yeah, it's fine. We can always patch it up. But there was one point in the evening where I was shaking someone's hand over the bar.
Oh, God.
And there was a candle. And I looked down. My arm started feeling really hot. And I was like, uh-oh. And yeah, luckily I don't think we burnt the kimono off.
Oh my God.
But that would have been.
Can you imagine?
You can stitch up a hole, you can clear out a stain, but can you repair a flame grilled kimono? I suspect the answer is no. But what did you like about running the bar?
Well, I liked how it was such a small group of people.
Mm.
There were only 8 people up at the bar. We had a chance to talk to each person there. I think, hopefully, we tried our best. And it was just a lot nicer than a really huge event where you feel like you've missed talking to people.
Mm. Yeah, so we had like a group of 8 come in and then they would sort of rotate. And then the next 8 would come in, the next 8 would come in. I think all in all, we had 100 people over 4 days. So, yeah, really good fun. Will I do it again? Not, no.
Why?
Nah.
Why not?
I think it was just really tiring because, it's really cool talking to everyone. But
yeah.
Because I'm the sort of person that doesn't want to miss speaking to a single person.
Mm.
And I went down and talked to every single person. I'm pouring their drinks. I'm trying to chat to everyone. It was really tiring and hard work. And by the end of the 4 days, and also as part of being like, I wanted to have like a laid back, fun atmosphere. I drank too. I had
you
to drink.
Drank a lot.
There was no other choice.
Yeah.
I had to drink all the sake. So we had like 3 varieties of sake per group.
Yeah.
And I would drink every
4 times a night.
Yeah, so
right?
I'd drink 3 shots 3 times a night. So that's like, I don't know, it's 9 different drinks
at
I was
least.
Having. And even though I wasn't really drunk by the end of the night, I was kind of like a bit buzzed.
Yeah.
And then the next day I was mildly hungover.
And then
and
that
I'd
just
start getting,
snowballed.
Snowballed, yeah.
Throughout the rest of the week.
So I'm feeling pretty rough right now.
It was nice sake though. It was really nice quality. I've never had Kyoto Nihonshu before.
Mm.
So that was cool. I found my new favorite drink. I don't drink much, but I really, I sound like an alcoholic, but I really like this, umeshu that
plum
was
wine.
Aged in a whiskey barrel.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good.
That was so good. I've never seen it before. It must be pretty rare.
Yeah, it's quite strong, isn't it, the plum
Very,
wine? So they put the plum wine in the whiskey barrel. It definitely gets the smoky undertones of whiskey bleed through into it.
Mm, that was very Suntory.
Yeah,
not
that's pretty
sponsored.
Good. Not sponsored. That was pretty good. And
good.
Yeah, but I don't want to drink sake for a while now. But yeah, it was good fun. And hopefully, guys, the video will demonstrate that.
Yeah.
I don't envy the guy who's going to edit that, Dave, the editor.
Good luck, Dave.
More and more drunkenness as the night goes on. But it should be a good video. Check it out soon, guys. We got a story from Jeremy this week. He begins, "Hello, Chris and Pete." Or Sharla now. My name is Jeremy and I'm currently working in Hong Kong, but I'm originally from Augsburg, Germany. During my first visit to Japan in 2017, I visited Fuji-Q Highland Amusement Park in Yamanashi. While wandering around through the park at the end of the day, shortly before closing hour to take some pictures, I came across a group of young Japanese adults, some girls and guys, probably in their early 20s. They were standing around a small statue, and upon closer inspection, I could see that one of the guys had his pants down and his dick resting on the statue's hand.
Oh
well,
my.
One of the girls was taking pictures of it with the rest of the group laughing. Well, I guess this podcast episode is going to need the explicit warning. After noticing me, they just continued laughing and smiled at me. I continued on my way and promised myself to never touch a public statue ever again. Did the young generation in Japan lose a bit of its shame? Or do you think that even Natsuki and Ryotaro were once as naughty as those young adults? Keep up the great work and congratulations on the engagement, guys. Best greetings from Jeremy in Hong Kong. That's fucked. That's fucking horrible.
Thanks for the congratulations, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what a horrible story.
Congratulations weren't horrible. It was the bit before that. I wonder if anyone's ever done that with Hachiko at Shibuya.
Oh, 100%.
No.
100%. When I taught English, the boys in my classes were just ridiculous. They always had their clothes off. They were always doing something really stupid and inappropriate. This was junior high school kids, though, so younger than the ones in this story. But I feel like, yeah, Natsuki and Ryotaro were probably exactly the same. It's just young boys in Japan seem to act like this.
That's pretty messed up, though. I don't even know if they would stoop to that level. Well, maybe Rotter. A bit weird. But speaking of boys, we got a weird story this week involving what might be a boy at sea, like a boy in the sea, right? Really weird story. I don't even know if it's worth mentioning. Charlotte thought it wasn't worth mentioning.
Well, just the fact that everybody is so excited about this just stupid shit. Event is kind of worth mentioning. I don't understand.
Well, you might recall a few weeks ago, the US shot down the spy balloon in America. Well, they shot down like three or four things back to back. And while the first one was a Chinese spy balloon, although the Chinese claimed it was a weather balloon, what a load of bollocks. they did shoot down three or four more other objects there was a lot of speculation, and the UFO community got very excited. They were like, aliens, rah! Then America, you know, the US government was like, actually, it was probably just research balloons from various organisations. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crap up there in the air floating around. And at the same time, on a Japanese beach down in Shizuoka, near the city of Hamamatsu, a sphere appeared on the beach.
A large iron ball is what they're calling it.
It was very mysterious, and it baffled the locals and took the nation by storm. It was a sphere.
It's a slow news day in Japan.
Well, clearly, the sphere measured 1.5 metres in diameter, and it washed up on Enshu Beach in Hamamatsu, just on the Pacific coast. And at first, people thought it was a stray mine, right? But then they used an X-ray, and they found that the interior was hollow.
So how heavy was this thing? It says it's made from iron, but it's hollow. So it's not that heavy.
I don't think they got that far with their investigation.
I'm assuming it can't be a buoy because it's not going to float if it's iron, right?
Well, my initial thoughts when I saw it was it looked like a wrecking ball because there's like an object.
But that would be solid.
Something protruding from it. Yeah, but then a wrecking ball would be solid, right? But there were sort of two handles on the sphere's surface indicating it could be hooked onto something. And that it's maybe just a mooring buoy. But police inspected the ball. I think they had like a explosive team go and examine it as well, make sure it wasn't a mine, of course.
Well, that's smart.
Or some sort of espionage by North Korea or China.
Someone inside the ball.
North Korea have done some pretty ropey things in the past.
Right.
You might recall, I think it was in the 80s, they kidnapped some kids from a beach in Niigata, took them back to North Korea.
I've heard this story.
And forced them to teach Japanese.
They were on that island, Sado Island.
They did that there too?
Yeah.
Oh,
that also happened there.
Not good. But I don't think they do that anymore. But it created a sense of terror on the west coast of Japan after this happened, I think, that don't let your kids walk along the beach.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why to this day the west coast of Japan is sort of just empty. Whatever I'm there.
Do you think? The beaches?
Hopefully I won't get kidnapped and fucking dragged off to
Pyongyang.
It's
probably the dangerous things in the ocean.
That too. Yeah,
jellyfish and the sharks.
But police began inspecting the ball, which was a sort of orange-brown colour. And after a local woman spotted it resting on the sand just metres from the shore, she called the police. In the end of the day, they dragged it off and nobody knows what it is now. So
can they do like a reverse image search on Google or something and find something similar? Somebody must have taken like a picture of one of these things. You at least figure out what country it's from.
It's a really unremarkable story, but when you look at the photos, it is quite hilarious. These Japanese police just on the beach in sort of awe
at this
rusty sphere that's definitely just
it's so
something
weird,
mediocre.
Because there's nothing like intimidating about it. I just don't understand why everyone's making such a big deal. Like if it was some weird alien-esque object, I would understand the hype, but it's just like a ball made from iron.
I think it was just sort of the whole balloon
really? You
situation.
Think it's related to that?
I think it was big, like the balloon situation in America got everyone excited for mysterious round balloon-esque objects.
God.
And this came at the exact moment that people were like, what is this? What's going on? There's so much uncertainty. But there you go. I think it's nothing more than just a boy or a wrecking ball. Either way, really boring.
Moving on.
But go look at the photos because they are hilarious. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? Sharla, I'll let you take over. Read away.
I was recently watching one of Sharla's vlogs. Ooh, it's one for me. In which she spoke about her thyroid issues and people commenting on her weight as a result. My question is, how are the beauty standards in Japan? And are they ridiculous for men and women alike? And how is Japan with things like dyed hair? All right, a few questions in there. Beauty
greedy.
Standards in Japan are definitely more strict, is that the word, for women. Women are, I feel like they're really forced to be extremely skinny.
I think also
in Japan.
The makeup situation, that's why masks are so popular here, right, for women.
Makeup.
Often, to conceal their faces if they're not,
if they're not wearing makeup. Yeah.
I was watching, we're in Kyoto at the moment still, and I was watching a couple take photos on this bridge going across the river, Kamigawa, and this guy was taking these really nice photos of this girl, and she had her face mask on, and I was like, what the hell's going on here? But I remember, it's not uncommon for girls to just not put on makeup and wear a mask.
And wear a mask to, hide that. Yeah, I think women are expected to look their very best in public. Makeup, hair, be as skinny as possible. That's kind of the Japanese ideal. I wouldn't say that they hold men to those same standards at all.
No.
Not at all, really. They might make comments like, oh, you've gained weight, to a guy, but it's a lot less common.
They do, speaking from my experience.
Well, it's a different story for you, I think.
What?
Because you're a foreigner, you're bigger than a Japanese person in general.
Larger than life, dare I say.
But I don't think I've ever seen a Japanese guy get bullied or commented on for his weight in my whole time here.
Right.
And lots of them are a lot chubbier than the women are. So yeah, I would say the standards are definitely different between men and women. As for things like dyed hair, lots of people dye their hair here, girls and guys. It's often not allowed in lots of jobs. If you work in a more like professional job, I don't know, something like maybe at a train station or something government related, they might require you to have your natural black hair or make sure if you're coloring it, it has to be a shade of black or slightly lighter black. But other than that, yeah, lots of people dye their hair here.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's forbidden at schools. Students aren't allowed to do it at all.
No, not at all. Oh, and I've heard stories of like half children
having brown hair and having to dye it black.
And having to dye it black when it's their natural hair color. Ridiculous.
Let's call that out for what it is. Pretty shit. Shitty behavior by schools. Got a question here from Megan. Good day, Chris and Pete, Chris and Charlotte. In 2005, I've created a new time scale. That's what happened when you drink for 4 days. In 2005, we hosted a Japanese student in our home for 2 weeks, and it was a great experience. I'm going to Japan this year and thought to myself, it'll be nice to get back in touch and maybe organise to meet again. Would finding her on social media and sending a message after all this time be considered odd or rude? Thank you for any insight you can give. Megan from Brisbane, Australia. I don't think it would be odd or rude at all. I think it would be very difficult, though, to find them on social media.
Even if you know their full name. Lots of people have the same name here.
Yeah, the same kanji. I don't think... If you could do it, that'd be quite impressive. But it's not odd or rude, is it?
No, not at all. I think they would be thrilled to hear from you. Absolutely. I've done this before. I hosted a bunch of Japanese students when I was in high school. And 10, 15 years down the line, I found a couple of them just going through my old emails and sending them an email to their old address. And it reached a few of them and they were thrilled to hear from me. So no, I think you should definitely try and look for her if you can.
Find her, whatever the cost. We got one here from Jonathan who says, hello, Chris and Charlotte. My wife and I are both graduating this year, and to celebrate, we've booked flights to Japan for 2 weeks in October. But one thing we have noticed is that many of the hotels and car rentals we want to book are not available from September onwards. Have we missed the boat, or do Japanese hotels typically only allow guests to book within a certain number of months beforehand? Love the podcast, Jonathan. I think you're probably just booking too far ahead.
I've never tried to book that far ahead.
I have tried, and I do think there is an issue with some hotels. Yeah. Flights, did you say flights though?
No.
Oh, car rental. Car rentals. Yeah, I think it's just booking too far ahead.
Yeah.
That's 6 months ahead, right? 6 months ahead is quite far ahead. And even though people in Japan do typically try and reserve things where possible because they don't like uncertainty, I still think it's probably just too far ahead.
Yeah,
right?
try when there's like 3 or 4 months to go, maybe. There's no reason that hotels and car rentals would be booked up for September, October already. Absolutely. So don't worry about that.
We've got a few more questions here. Do you want to take over this one?
Which one? The top one?
The top one.
Hey, clubby Chris. Charlotte mentioned Chris and her will be moving to Tokyo. What prompted the move? What will happen to the Abroad in Japan studio? The top asked question about us moving to Tokyo. And more importantly, will you set it up in Tokyo and sell tickets to visit the Abroad in Japan VIP behind the scenes studio back lot tour? Good luck with the wedding, Justin from Vancouver.
I've had that question so much.
So have I. It's not even my bloody studio.
Had it at the bar, had it on the live stream the other day. You know, I get a lot of people are worried about it, but I've spoken to the company that built the studio and we are going to disassemble it. Quite a lot of money, quite a big expense, unfortunately. Disassemble it, rebuild it, make sure everything's good. I think they're going to sort of go over it and make sure everything is nice and working.
Yeah, that's good because a couple of things did kind of break down, didn't they? The lights, a couple of the lights.
You know, the lights are all working, actually.
We had issues with the Maneki Neko light.
Yeah, the Maneki Neko Lucky Cat neon light. Probably my favourite light, actually, at the back.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, when it's cold, it just doesn't illuminate.
Oh, that was just the temperature.
Yeah.
Well, we could bring that up with them.
Just got to blow heat on it and hold it. But I'm thinking of extending it as well and maybe having some sort of game arcade area.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to do that. So yeah, they're going to dismantle it, pop it in a truck, bring it down to Tokyo. The biggest issue will be finding a new studio space in Tokyo because it's pricey.
It's very pricey. Like, it's probably going to be two or three times what it costs now to have the studio space in Sendai. So it's a little bit daunting. But this is kind of like, for me, it's an all or nothing, going all in moment, right? I don't know when I'm going to have an excuse to build a studio like this ever again.
Yeah.
While Braun Japan is still relatively successful, before it inevitably goes downhill for whatever reason, and everyone does TikTok and YouTube shorts. This is my last battle cry before I give up on YouTube. I want to make sure it's as good as it can be and it lives up to everything I want from it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna basically get the company to try and find ways to make it maybe twice as big.
Yeah,
and extend maybe the alleyway. And
we should ask people what they'd like to see in it.
That could
get
be cool.
Some ideas from viewers. What should we add to it?
If you guys have any ideas on what we could do. All is at this point. I think something to do with the video games arcade, something to do with the more cyberpunky stuff.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think the biggest thing you should change is find a way to add space so that you can have a different filming position.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, the back alley can't really be used for filming because it's so narrow. And it sucks because it looks so cool, but you don't really get to use it much.
Agreed, yeah. The back alley's definitely got room for improvement and extending it. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. In terms of moving in Tokyo, I'm kind of excited about it because you've got friends nearby. Most of our friends live in Tokyo and it's going to open up a lot of doors. And basically, it's going to fucking mean we don't have to get on the Shinkansen every 5 minutes.
Yeah, like I love the Shinkansen, but
we
use so much time commuting to Tokyo and back, waiting for the trains, sitting on the trains. It will save us so many hours out of each month that we could be doing other things with. So I'm excited for that for sure. Because I always feel like there's not enough time in the day to do everything I want to do. So any extra time will be much appreciated.
As for tickets to the Abroad Japan VIP behind the scenes studio backlot tour, it's a bit risky, isn't it? Because once I've picked, like, if my location's public, then that could present some issues.
The thing is, you use your studio as your office. It's not just a studio space. You're there working and stuff.
We'd have to have like mega security and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I think what I would do though is years down the line, if I'm closing that studio, then I would do like tours for like
a couple of months
or something. I don't know. It could be good.
Yeah.
Could make the money back from spending on the studio. Bloody expensive. We got one here from Max from Baltimore who says, Dear Chris and Charlotte, my friends and I are finally visiting Japan and will be spending time in Tokyo and Shinjuku and Osaka, Kyoto and Hiroshima. While we have plenty of plans for sightseeing at the usual tourist hotspots, what's one thing we need to do in each and every city? Congratulations to you and Charlotte, Max from Baltimore. I guess I'll give one recommendation per place. And so, well, Charlotte, do you want to start or shall I?
Tokyo would be Nakano Broadway, my favorite place to chill out and just look at cool retro goods.
I haven't been there since Pete Dawson was last.
Been there in ages.
It's really cool. Nakano Broadway, it's these like, in many ways that inspired the Born Japan studio. They've got these cavernous little streets and it's all like in this big mall area kind of thing. It's dark, dingy mall. And there's lots of like little tiny alleyways packed full of shops selling cool items from like the 70s and the 80s. That's pretty cool. As for me, fuck, I don't know. Oh, I hate doing these bloody questions. I'll go to Yokohama. Go there.
I do like Yokohama.
Nobody goes there anymore.
No,
go to Yokohama.
They don't.
Yokohama Chinatown. I really like going there. The street food is next level. And there's no equivalent Chinatown.
I've never been.
In Tokyo itself. Really?
Never.
I don't have to go.
No.
It's really good. They've like dumplings, you can just eat them walking down the street. Really, really damn good. As for Osaka, it's you know, a bit of a cliche, but like the Namba Dotonbori Bridge area. Mm. If I have to go and do a nighttime shoot with my camera spontaneously, then that's going to be where I go.
Yeah, I would say the same. Honestly, just going out at nighttime in Osaka, taking photos, walking the streets, eating as much food as you can because Osaka has some of the best food in Japan. Mm. That should be your goal for Osaka.
Kitchen of Japan.
Yeah.
As for Kyoto, I would say where we've spent the last few days,
Gion's
really nice. I'm every year my love for Kyoto grows a little bit more as I discover somewhere new. And even though it's been really busy and touristy and whatnot, it's still been an amazing trip this last week here. And I've discovered bits of Gion that I'd never seen before, just stumbling around at night, often drunk after the bar. and just uncovering these little shrines that tuck down the side of buildings, yeah. little alleyways with restaurants that nobody can possibly find.
The restaurants are amazing. I would recommend getting a kaiseki dinner in Kyoto. There are so many kaiseki restaurants here, which is like a course menu. Really fancy Japanese foods. It can be quite pricey. I think they start at about 10,000 yen, which is about $80 American or so.
Yeah,
it's a great experience.
Oh, there's my phone. I was going to get the name of the place we went to yesterday. You give a suggestion for Hiroshima. I'll look it up.
Hiroshima, I've only been to twice. The first trip was really rushed, and I went to Itsukushima Shrine, which is extremely famous, but for good reason. It's on a little island called Miyajima, and it's just gorgeous. There's a deer there, a beautiful shrine to look at. If you go during soccer season, it's amazing. Definitely Itsukushima Shrine.
Mm. And the restaurant in Gion that we went to, and actually where the bar was on the second floor, is called Gion Yatta, Y-A-T-A, Gion Yatta.
Great staff, great food.
Yeah, wonderful staff. Kaiseki restaurant. Can't recommend it enough. Like, really beautiful. It's quite intimidating going down Gion because you can't see inside any of the restaurants or shops, right? Because of these old sort of townhouses. So always get a reservation in advance. There was when Charlotte and I went in there last night for dinner, there was a British couple next to us, actually, from Liverpool. And they didn't know any Japanese. And I was quite impressed that they just sort of booked this restaurant down this road in Gion.
Yeah, we asked them how they found it, and they just Googled kaiseki. Yeah. This is what they found. They got lucky because the guy at the bar behind the counter speaks a bit of English.
And not only that, but he was serving Dr. Jelly water. He got a water bottle and he'd taken the Dr. Jelly fridge magnet that I'd given him and stuck it on with sellotape to the to the bottle, to the glee of many customers. So go there if for not any other reason to see Dr. Jelly being served. And we've got one last question from Chris. Good name, Chris. Good day, cyclist Chris. My name's Chris from New Zealand. My wife and I will be travelling to Japan in mid-March for our long-awaited two-month-long honeymoon. A big feature of our trip will be cycling. We'd like to use proper campgrounds. However, most campgrounds seem to require reservations up to 14 days prior. But it'll be impossible to predict where we'll be for any given night. Do you have any experience with booking accommodation like this, or do you think they'll be open to providing space for us on the same day if we roll in? Well, unfortunately, Chris, I'm the one person who's never gone camping in Japan. I don't think... Are you sure about this 14-day prior reservation thing? I've never heard that, though.
Campgrounds require up to 14 days. No, your sister would be the one to ask on this.
Yeah, my sister's currently...
I don't have any experience camping either, unfortunately.
But then that's an RV. My sister's currently driving around Japan in an RV, but that's not camping. I don't know. I don't think... I've never heard of this problem before.
As for rolling up and hoping to get a space on the same day, that's very risky. There are lots of people in Japan. Things are usually quite full when you try to get in on same day. Restaurants, hotels, whatever. I would say you'll have to at least give it a couple days in advance notice.
My advice, just try and book a few days in advance, Chris, and hopefully you'll be all right. But sorry, I can't help you. We've never gone camping, have we?
We haven't. Why is that?
Who wants to sleep in a tent?
I do.
Why?
Why not?
Spiders, snakes,
bears. If you zip up the tent, the spiders can't get in. There's more spiders in our house.
What if the spider has already come in the tent?
We'll bring Morrow. We'll bring Morrow. He will eat the spiders.
Can you bring a cat to a campsite?
Yes.
Say certain. That will present its own problems, I'm sure. But that is the end of this podcast for now, guys. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Our next episode will be on our regular time, which I believe is Sunday. I still don't know after
don't
5 years. When is it? You must listen every week.
Yeah.
But for now, guys, have yourself a great few days. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast.
Bye.
Charlotte will be back at the next one as well.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.